welcome back to another episode of the Mush Money Podcast. I'm Lance.
And I'm Corey.
Back after the Tour Championship, where Scottie Scheffler takes home the big bucks and the big 30 under.
Yeah, no, he shot 20 under on the tournaments. That's good on him. He pretty much, I mean, he was really not in danger of losing it through pretty much the whole weekend.
No, I mean, Morikawa had a really good round two, but then, I mean, he still shot both those two, and Sahith Theegala for that matter, and I guess Adam Scott too, all shot every round under 70. So
yeah, Theegala had a really good round.
Yeah,
just good weekend, good week. He really battled back from having, I don't even think he had a starting stroke, or he was one of those at the very bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely kind of what we expected with Scotty up there. He was actually my GOAT, and I know you had Xander, so he finished T4, obviously both them with kind of a head start. Xander just kind of seemed like he was in full coast all weekend.
Yeah, he kind of did the Xander, like that we, like before he started winning, that just kind of didn't seem to get it together. But I did, one thing that was of note of Scotty's game, after this total reconstruct at East Lake, he started, like, his first how many rounds that he had played on East Lake, he had lost, like, 13 strokes putting. And through the first 3 days, he had gained over 5 strokes on the new surfaces and the new greens. So I don't know what, you know, if they helped that fit his eye or what, but he definitely had an easier time on these new greens.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. He knew what he was doing. Scotty also changed his putter too.
Did he? I did not see that.
He did. He changed his putter first weekend with the new putter, and that seemed to obviously help as well. So
maybe it was the putter combination or what, but yeah,
I didn't see that. Yeah. So he battled, and I mean, honestly, everyone played pretty decent other than obviously Bez and Hoagie that absolutely sucked, but that was kind of to be expected from those two. One thing I did see, obviously Spieth went down with a season-ending injury. The season was over, but, you know, with an injury that was going to get fixed. I also saw Åberg. He's going to get a knee redone.
Yeah, so that knee injury that he had was a little worse than throughout the year than expected.
Yeah, so be interesting that'll to see him back out there next year. And
yeah, that'll be something to keep an eye on as the year keeps on going down here.
Yeah, and one I was gonna touch on the President's Cup too. Did you see the captains for that? Oh boy.
Yeah, the captains picks.
Yeah. Max Homa.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's not really the greatest pick, but
yeah, it was pretty bad.
We'll go with that.
It was pretty bad. Other than that, on golf, obviously to the end of the season here, got some off season stuff coming up. The US or the
got President's Cup coming.
President's Cup coming, but
other than that, it's just slow. It's the swing season. It's going to be a lot of guys trying to try and get cards for next year. So it's going to be a lot of the lower tier events. There'll be a few towards the end of the year that it's like the Hero World Championship. I think that's kind of the first big one that a lot of people play in. And then the Fortinet, there's a lot of big players that go play in the Fortinet as well.
Yeah. The other thing too, I don't know if you saw Rory come out and said next year he's going to be playing in less tournaments. So we'll see if that has anything to do with a lot of speculation that he's preparing to make a switch again over to LIV, but I don't know if I see that happening.
I think at this point, I don't think he's going to, but
I wouldn't think so, but you just never know. And when LIV walks around with an open checkbook, it makes it even that much harder.
Yeah. I just don't know how you play less events when you have all these signature events. I don't. And they didn't change anything for next year with those. So I don't really see how he didn't. I mean, to be honest, he really didn't play that many events that he didn't need to play.
Yeah. And he played down the stretch because he didn't win. I mean, he won. Wasn't the only one he won was the team contest with Lowry.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, you had to. If you play better, you can play in less. It's kind of how that works.
Yep.
But I mean, that kind of puts a damper on, you know, we might hit or miss on some golf things moving forward.
We'll have a little golf show for the President's Cup, I think. But until then, I don't think it's going to be full football for us.
Yeah, full steam ahead on football.
And then just the gateway into that, I'm ready for Thursday.
Ready. Yeah, I got a little taste of, got to go out to Ohio this last weekend and got a little taste of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that definitely tickled the right strings, yeah, and I'm definitely ready too.
I bet that was cool. I'm kind of jealous on that.
Yeah, that was a bucket list item for me. The next time I'll be out there is when Larry Fitzgerald's up on the podium. So yep. I will definitely be there for that.
That'll be fun.
Jumping into just some other news and sports before we hop into football. Well, I guess it's kind of football related, but Brandon Ayuk getting his deal, Trent Williams getting his deal.
That mends up kind of a lot of the contract issues.
Yep.
I don't know where they got the money, but they found it.
Yeah, and while we're talking 49ers, Ricky Purcell getting shot this last week in the chest. Yeah.
But he shot the robber.
Yeah. So, I mean, good on him. He's just glad he's able to perform. Yeah, he probably shouldn't be around anymore, but luckily someone was watching over him and took care of it. Then other crazy news, the Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce podcast getting 100 mil.
Yeah, that's a paycheck.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, and I'm super pumped because it's also college football, and that's my favorite time of the year, too. So we're getting into where Lance does a lot more time sitting in front of a TV, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear Scott Hansen for 7 hours a day on Sunday.
Yeah.
For Red Zone.
Yep. Yeah, we're kind of all suckers for Red Zone. It seems like it's a pretty good deal and getting to sit here with a group of guys.
To me, it's the best bargain for any, like, just watching football. Sunday tickets, absolutely astronomical. And I'd rather watch the more important parts anyway. And at the beginning of the games, they show a lot of other stuff that happens as well. So yeah, I just, for like $99 a year, I will definitely pay that.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm paying too. It's something stupid cheap like that. So definitely worth it. Definitely worth it for sure. Well, I'm ready if you are.
Yeah. You know, we can just kind of ease into it. You know, we can kind of go over some basic strategy. I can kind of. Because this is your first year playing NFL DFS for the, like, more regularly.
Seriously, yep.
Yeah, instead of just being the Sunday guy on the shitter throwing in a lineup.
Yep, yeah, that was me for a long time. Last 2 years I've been, and I was a FanDuel junkie then. I'm now a DraftKings junkie, so.
So, you know, we can go over some basic tips. You know, you want to play a quarterback with at least one pass catcher, if not two. I know last year we started seeing the double stack not win as much where you only needed the one pass catcher, and then you usually want to try and bring it back with a pass catcher because you're hoping your game shoots out and you're hoping you hit the targets on the head, obviously volume, so you're trying to it helps you score more points, obviously. And you don't want to play the defense that's up against your stack, you know, don't shoot yourself right in the foot. Other than that, that's kind of the basic enough to at least get you started. Yeah. It's not overwhelming, just kind of the basics for anybody trying to jump in that's newer to the DraftKings side of football.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's been hard, just kind of stacks in general. It seems like in all sports, it's really been tough to actually put a full stack together and be up at the top.
And so last year, we really seen DraftKings tighten up pricing. Like, you had to make decisions on what you had to play. And that's where you ended up seeing, you know, the expensive wide receivers, say Justin Jefferson when he's healthy, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill. They were so expensive that sometimes you didn't even need them because you couldn't get to the more pieces that were more optimal. So you ended up not even needing those expensive pieces in some of them games. Oh. So as the year went on last year, there was a lot of the sharp people and a lot of us are just trying to play cheap stacks that we're trying to find the cheap stack that went off that week. You know, there's a few of us on Houston before they started gaining a lot of momentum. So we got some of that stuff before that you couldn't stack them anymore because of their price. So yeah, it got really hard. And then the pricing was just tight. So you had a hard time trying to jam in all the guys you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what makes it more challenging and trying to really put the right pieces to the puzzle together.
Yeah, it definitely does for sure. Well, going to be just like a first look show. We'll have a more tuned up version, kind of what we're doing more on we'll record Friday night. We're hoping to have them out Tuesday and Saturday, hopefully if our time allows. And with me getting off work more towards the end of the middle of this football year, that'll work a lot easier.
Yes, it will. And hopefully come middle of October, my schedule should calm down a little bit too and be able to focus more on this as well than my regular job. So
and in this Monday or this, well, it'll be a Wednesday show. Today it'll be a Wednesday show or this week. But we will also recap, you know, what we've seen on the last Sunday and kind of went over what worked, what stacks didn't work, you know, kind of like a recap, first look type deal. So I feel like that'll be a good way to keep our brains sharp and assess what we got to try and get better at for the next week.
Absolutely. That's what we're here to do.
All righty. Well, we got I know what I'm probably going to say about this game, but I'll lead you into it. What about this nice first game of the slog, Carolina versus New Orleans?
That's going to be an absolute shit show. Yeah. Neither one of these teams play that great a defense. So you have that. It could be, you know, I don't know. I got my own comments on Bryce Young. I don't think he's quite ready, but I mean, they finally got a couple of other wide receivers around him this year. So maybe that'll help, but they didn't really do much from a line standpoint. And then obviously their rookie Jonathan Brooks, who's supposed to be their big guy out of the backfield, is out. So
yeah.
On the Carolina side, to me, it's pretty ugly. And New Orleans, I mean, it could be a shootout. I mean, neither team plays defense.
It honestly could be. And thing is, the one thing you also want to look at, it's in a dome. Love games in domes. It always kind of the pace seems to play better. But this is going to be a defensive divisional slog, I think.
Yep.
The only play I don't mind is like an Adam Thielen one-off at the price. We've seen it last year. He was a really good one-off piece if you need that. But he's a little pricier than I would like to see. But earlier last year, he was 5,900 week six, and he scored 31 points. The week before, 5,100, scored 30 points. He was just seeing the volume. Granted, they have Deontay Johnson this year to take a little bit of that load off on him. So I don't know what that's going to do. And then Leggett.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to hurt him a little bit, but he also has chemistry with Bryce Young. So we might see him go to Thielen as that safety blanket. So I'd be willing to take a one off on him. That's probably all I'm going to touch on this.
Yeah, I'm out completely. There's not a single soul I'm going to play in these two games. Yeah. I do think there it could be an absolute shootout, but I just don't think that risk is going to be worth the reward, because it could also be a 6-3 game too.
Yeah, like I said, Adam Thielen's probably the only one I'd be willing to touch at this on a Tuesday.
And it'll be interesting to see him this year, if he's lost a step or not. You know, he's getting older, and I think that was part of the reason why they brought in a Deontay Johnson, and obviously they got Leggett in the draft, so they didn't, you know, they chose to pick him, but they definitely needed help here. But they also just have no line. They give Bryce Young absolutely zero time in the pocket to throw the ball. And that's where Thielen comes into play, coming out of the slot. He's going to be, like you said, he's going to be the dump off guy.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't think the second game's any better. So,
no, Pittsburgh, Atlanta. No.
You got, I was joking with my father-in-law. This is the game of the quarterbacks that belong in nursing homes.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson is just downright awful.
Yeah, the downfall of Russell has to be studied somewhere. It does. He was just so good. And then it was like he flipped a switch and didn't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it went.
And, you know, he's getting paid just astronomical amount of money to do virtually nothing. I mean, he hasn't been good. I mean, I don't know at what point they're going to turn this team over to Justin Fields, but I'm going to guess it's going to happen before week six.
I've heard he hasn't been impressed in training camp either. So,
well, and, I mean, look at historical Mike Tomlin quarterbacks. Neither one of these guys fit the freaking envelope.
No. Yeah.
You're talking a pocket passer that sits in the freaking pocket with a decent offensive line in front of him and waits till something produces down the field. And you don't have that anymore. You also don't really have a wide receiver number two this year. Van Jefferson is mad at best. I mean,
Van Jefferson's their second.
Yeah. Najee Harris he showed last year he wasn't worth his weight in anything.
No, and he's reminding me of like Trent Richardson when he got drafted. He lacks that explosiveness. I mean, don't get me wrong. He goes off like two games a year, but he lacks that explosiveness. So, I mean, the DraftKings pricing tells you flat out right away, Najee Harris and Jalen Warner, 5,600.
And I wouldn't, I mean, Jalen, I doubt he's questionable right now, but I'm going to doubt he's going to be a go.
Yeah.
So I think Najee gets the carries, but you're playing Atlanta, who did upgrade their secondary this year as well. And their defense is actually okay.
So then you're going into the thing. Okay, you're getting Cordero Patterson. He's more explosive, even when he's as old as he is. Better than Najee.
Yep. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets at least a
honestly,
third of the
if you're putting
Najee
a lineup
gets.
In a Millie Maker and Jaylen Warren doesn't go, I don't hate throwing Cordarrelle Patterson in a lineup.
Especially at 4,500. You know, and Pittsburgh got one of the best defenses in the league. So going on the other side of the spectrum, who are you going to play? A very expensive Bijan Robinson with one of the best rush defenses in the NFL? I mean, that's questionable. And I don't trust Kirk Cousins. I mean, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson anymore. He's got maybe a KJ Osborne comparison and Drake London. Maybe London's a little better than that. But, you know, the comparison, he doesn't have even second wide receiver he doesn't have a Jordan Addison. I mean,
no.
And those guys make plays, and Kirk Cousins is not that good of a quarterback.
No, so he has Kyle Pitts. Like, his biggest weapon is Kyle Pitts, in my opinion. And that they just don't use him either. So we'll see if he gets thrown into the script more. I hope he does, because that dude has just got so much talent. But he's like I animal. Said, I'd probably the only guy I'd be willing to play in this game, too, is Kyle Pitts. Take the chance. Take the big boom or bust. This next game is going to be popular.
It is interesting to me that they got Curtis Samuels as the number three wideout. I did not see Shakir getting the number one spot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more or less Shakir knowing the system.
Yeah.
He probably has a better grasp, and he can kind of, this sounds weird as shit to say, but kind of be the leader in that wide receiver room, as young as he is. But obviously, you got two hot shot, honestly, some of the higher picked wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously for Arizona, and Keon Coleman for Buffalo.
And you know Josh Allen's going to throw the ball.
Yeah, he's going to be Josh Allen's going to be one of the most popular quarterbacks. I'm just calling it this already. The
Arizona defense is awful.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be one of them. If you want to play Josh Allen, it's going to be, you got to figure out how to stack him and get just a little bit different. The only problem is, I mean, he's going to throw it, but man, that wide receiver room is bad.
Yeah, it's not good. He lost everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, if you wanted to take a wait and see approach, I don't hate it. Marvin Harrison Jr., they priced him up like he's a big boy already.
I don't like that. Yeah. For a guy that didn't touch the football in preseason?
Yeah, that's what...
I love MHJ and I love my Arizona Cardinals, but that's scary.
We've seen some players that don't touch the field in preseason and they just come out looking like slow. Not a dig on them, but they just come out looking not ready for regular season for the first week or two. So, I don't know. I trust me, I want to play him because he's the new shiny new toy, right? We want to play him. But I don't know. A lot of these games right away, even into this next, like the next one. But it's just they're all like slot. Like Buffalo has the potential to put up points, but I can see it where they honestly, it could be a game where I just play James Cook
and hope
he runs all over the place.
I was gonna say the same thing though. Buffalo lost a lot defensively this year too.
Yep.
So, I mean, not that Arizona's offense is great, but I mean, that's where I think Marvin Harrison is getting so juiced is just from the potential of what could be.
Thing is, I mean, if you wanted to take the savings and just go, if you think Buffalo's going to struggle passing the ball, this is a way to get pieces into that game and be different. You could go Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison, and like a James Cook. You usually don't like to play the running backs in with stacks like that as a bring back, but he does a lot of the pass catching out of the back as well. And I think with the lack of explosiveness out of the wide receivers, I think James Cook's going to see a lot more dump offs this year. So I don't necessarily hate that build path.
Yeah. And I mean,
if you think this game shoots out.
And Shakir and Curtis Samuel are both kind of the same wide receiver. Both of them are street guys. I mean, they're both going downfield, and that's where they need Keon Coleman to really step up in a different way and, you know, be over the middle, because we all know MVS can't catch. So
he wears boxing gloves when he plays.
Mac Hollins doesn't belong in the NFL, so.
Yeah, Mr. I don't wear shoes.
Yeah. On to the next, Tennessee and Chicago. This game could get interesting. We got the number one pick this year, Caleb Williams, coming into first game back there in Soldier Field.
Yep.
See what...
I'm telling you right now, if Keenan Allen doesn't play, I'm jumping ahead a little bit to the receivers. If Keenan Allen doesn't play, Roman O'Dunn's is going to be chalk city at 4,000. He's going to be one of the budget slams of the week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything that you just said, because he's going to step up. I just don't trust Caleb Williams.
I don't either, but I just know how the how this works. I see it every week. There, someone doesn't play, don't price up the third guy enough, and this is what you get value. Thing is, at that price, all he needs is to get 15 points. Not he might even need 10. So that's just one way to look at it. But he's obviously also going to be, I don't know, if Keenan Allen doesn't go, he's probably going to be in that 40 to 50% owned range.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think you're off there at all. I mean, what's your thoughts with Tony Pollard coming over to Tennessee? I mean, what do you think he's gonna do this year? I mean, he's not the, you know, he's got a, it's gonna be a double-headed backfield with Tajay Spears, but I
I
just
just,
don't know.
to me, Tajay Spears and Pollard are the same running back.
That's kind of what I thought.
And we've seen Tajay's explosiveness last year. So why they really didn't give him the one? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you do get the chance at Pollard. We've seen him before. He can do well, but I don't know. I don't hate it. He might be more of a focal point. I don't know. It's gonna be a wait and see though. I really don't like any of the running back. I think if anything, you'd take a chance at Tajay Spears. But then
That's
I hate taking chances on players that are gonna see the field in limited fashion. I want to have more opportunities. So I
well, and
think it's
then
gonna be a wait and see for me what they do with the backfield.
yeah, and then you also have to worry because if Pollard starts going off, well, he's not going to touch the field at all. But
Yeah, so that's the scary part.
that's also modern day NFL. I mean, there's not many teams really that are going to be single head backfields anymore.
Yeah. Thing is, I'm looking at this game opened at 42 and a half in Vegas, and it's already up to 45. Vegas thinks this game might shoot out, so that'll be
I
something
mean,
to
it
see.
could. I think it's going to just come down to the quarterbacks. Can Will Levis
Yeah.
get going and can Caleb Williams get going? I mean, they both have weapons. It's just how they're going to use them. You know, I think Caleb Williams definitely has more weapons.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You know, Cole Kmet too. Gerald Everett's not bad. Mercedes Lewis is a huge target.
Except he belongs in a nursing home.
Yeah, he's about 45, but
So, but I don't necessarily hate a Will Levis, Calvin Ridley, and then you bring it back with DJ Moore or O'Duns if Keenan Allen is a no-go.
especially at a 4K O'Duns.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's just gonna offer you so much salary relief if Keenan Allen doesn't go. This is early, and Keenan Allen has a Q tag every week, so we'll see.
Because he's about in a nursing home too.
And I'm just looking. Ryan Poles did say that Keenan Allen should be fine for week one, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Honestly, if you want value, Chig Okonkwo at 3,900. He has big boom or bust potential. We've seen him. He gets targets.
He built
Yeah.
some chemistry last year, I believe, with
Yeah. Yeah, no,
Levis too.
he was there all year. So, and Levis, I mean, he obviously struggled, but that whole Tennessee offense struggled. But he showed glimpses of hope in being a decent quarterback.
He
So,
only had one, Chig only had one touchdown last year.
yeah,
But
that's because he was splitting though with somebody. I can't remember who.
yeah, I think you're right.
He wasn't the full-time tight end, but he offered you the big boomer bust plays at tight end.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That game might be, I think I'm gonna keep my eye on that one for later in the week. That might be one of mine that I target at least pieces.
This next game I'm hammering.
You think so?
New England's defense is god awful.
Yeah, I'm scared of the New England pace.
And a $6,500 Joe Burrow also. A healthy Joe Burrow against some cornerbacks that aren't very good.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I get it. That's for damn sure.
that's kind of where my head goes. But they've also lost, you know, Mike Gesicki. That guy, he's not getting any younger.
Mike
I don't know.
Gesicki.
Jacoby Brissett on his, he's like a cat in the NFL. He's got more lives than a cat does.
Yeah, I wonder how long it's going to be till Drake May is a starter there.
Yeah.
The only problem is they have no line. So do you risk running May out there to get absolutely pummeled?
No.
So, yeah, that's.
And he doesn't move as well. I mean, Brissett's getting older, but he's a more mobile quarterback too. I think that's probably part of it. So Drake May doesn't get killed week one.
Yeah, I used to
But
be high on Ramondre, but I do not see him having a good year this year.
in a lot of the articles I've read, he's a major bust this year.
Yeah, I've been I just don't see how he can succeed. You don't have any wide receivers. You don't have O-line. I mean, Demario Douglas is their highest priced receiver, for Christ's sake, at 4,800. And Kendrick Bourne's out. So, I mean, you could maybe get some value at Jalen Polk, maybe. But, I mean, I just don't see how they open up the field enough to stop teams from stuffing seven down in the box and fucking just say, hey, if you're going to beat us, you got to throw.
I forgot that they went out and got Gibson.
Antonio Gibson, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have the worry about him leeching some dump offs and carries. So it's kind of that split New England what they had with Damian Harris. So I think I'm just going to be out.
Yeah, the more I look at it, the more I think the same thing too. I mean, it's gonna come down from me.
Thing
I
is,
looked at Joe Burrow and
you can
saw.
play Burrow and Chase and Higgins and just hope they go nuclear and score about 35 points with Burrow throwing four touchdowns to. You don't necessarily need to double it, but just like go Burrow Chase and just hope he throws three to Chase, one to Trenton Irwin or somebody, and I could see them putting up a 30 bomb here week one against this shitty Patriots team.
Yeah.
So, but on to
What
this
about
next one.
Houston and Indianapolis Colts, the Texans and the Colts? What you got?
This one's gonna be electric.
Potentially the highest powered offense in
Yeah,
all of football.
I'm just looking right now. They are tied. They're as of right now, they have there's another total higher. They have the second highest total. They're tied with the second highest total for the slate with 49 points is the over under. And they're projecting the Texans to have 26 and Colts to have 23. So I think this is going to be you're going to be wanting at least pieces, if not one of your main stacks are going to come out of this team or out of this game.
And this may arguably be one of the only games that in the Indianapolis Colts that has a single-headed running back room. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of love getting had from Trey Sermon or Tyler Goodson unless Jonathan Taylor needs a break.
No, as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And I refuse to play Joe Mixon. So I'm going to be out on Houston running backs. That dude way overrated and can't put it between the tackles to even score when he runs through the line. He's blinder than a bat. So I'm going to be out on them, but I'm going to be all getting my mitts on all these wide receivers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. I think my main two are obviously going to be the big dogs here in Collins and Pittman. I don't know what to do with that second and third spot in Houston with Diggs and Tank Dell. I really don't. Scares me. So,
Think there's going to be a lot of one or the other going off.
it's going to be hard to actually pin the pieces in Houston. So if you're doing like I'm this week this year, I'm going to probably stop doing my 20 maxes and I'm going to try and just hone in on like a 3 max and get better at that. So I think if in a 3 max, I like honestly running the same stack and just in different variants. So I think I like an Anthony Richardson stack with Pittman and then you pick one of them three of the Houston receivers and go with it. I don't hate that at all. Or you can obviously do the same with Stroud and just go the opposite. But I actually like Richardson more at that discount
Yeah.
in price.
Yeah, I agree. At 6,300.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how he comes back too. He should be ready to rip and ready to go. So.
And he looked great last year until he got hurt.
Yep.
So I'm hoping he comes back in that form. And don't call out Dalton Schultz here for Houston. He was a big safety blanket for CJ Stroud last year, and he ended up with some of the better weeks as a tight end in that middle of the year.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
So I think you're really shooting yourself in the foot if you don't seriously consider pieces from this game in your lineups on Sunday.
I agree.
All right, we're about halfway through.
And then we're going to Jacksonville and Miami, the Florida rivalry.
This is another one that has, I think it is tied at 49 with the total. Yes, it is. But it did open at 49.5, which, I mean, it's a half a point, so it's not that big of a deal. The thing is with Miami is I'm guessing they're going to be expensive. I mean, if
Yeah.
you just plug in Tua, oops.
an 8,700 Tyreek Hill. I think he's the most expensive guy in the book. Nope.
No, CD. CD is. I feel like, again, you're going to want pieces from this game and figure out, trying, obviously, who to hit. Well, Tyreek and Waddle both practice, so I think Waddle should be a go. But, yeah, it's just that Dolphins offense. Like, who do you pick, and how do you, unless some severe value opens up, I don't know how you play them all.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you get to some of the injured, you know, some of these guys like Odunze steps up, and yeah, it's going to be tough to get to all these guys. I actually like, there's one other team that we're going to get to here in a little bit that I thoroughly, they're playing a decent defense, but I thoroughly enjoy. Where are they?
Are they on the main slate?
They're on a different slate. They play Friday. Yeah. So, I mean, I think both these teams have good opportunities. I'm a little nervous with Jacksonville just because I feel like their weapon selection got worse this year. I mean, Gabe Davis is good, but it always seemed like he needed another wide receiver to take a little coverage so he could get open. And maybe that's me reading him wrong, but that's kind of what I saw last year was, you know, he needed somebody else on the other side to take some of the pressure off so he could actually get open.
Yep. So, yeah.
Kirk is washed up, in my opinion.
I took him in our dynasty league. I'm high on Brian Thomas. I hope he comes in and performs. The only problem is Lawrence, man, he just struggles.
He's up and down. That guy is the absolute truth of a roller coaster.
But, I mean, if you want to try and get pieces in this game for cheaper, you can just run Tyreek back on the other side. I don't hate it.
Now, are you touching, I mean, are you getting the Braxton Berrios? Are you, I mean, Jonnu Smith, Evan Ingram?
I don't necessarily hate Evan Ingram. We've seen him a lot, but, man, he's pricey for a tight end.
That's, yeah.
I honestly would probably like Jonnu Smith more, but that's also Jonnu Smith. So if I was doing it, do I just go to Durham Smythe and call it good? He's been in that offense more, knows it more. I don't know. And the thing is, too, do you touch A-Chain Mostert?
That's another one of them. Who's got the hot hand?
I mean, at some point, you're going to see A-Chain, mate, like, take over that backfield. You're just gonna.
Mostert isn't getting any younger.
No. But they're both injury prone, so it's hard for them to be lead backs in a backfield.
Which is why Jeff Wilson's still on the squad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there when they get injured is what the deal is there.
But then they got that rookie, Jalen Wright, so he might even be.
Where did that kid come from? Where did he play college ball?
I don't know where he came from.
I can't remember.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Nope, not at all.
This is another game you have to seriously consider pieces, at least for sure, in your first player pool to target.
Yeah, I would agree for sure, because they're too hot of an offense to stay away from. I mean, really, that's anybody they're playing. Now, Jacksonville does have a decent defense, but still, I think you have to have somebody from Miami in your player pool.
Yeah. All right. On to this next game.
Your beloved Vikings.
I will say this game is going to tell us how the season's going to go. They need to win this week one against the Giants.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Especially a pretty bad Giants team.
And now, isn't Addison going to be serving a suspension?
Yeah, he should be out.
That's what I thought, he's going to be serving his suspension. But he's still listed as questionable, so keep an eye on that. But don't play Jordan Addison if he's suspended.
He was also carted off the field that was a few weeks ago, I guess. He had an ankle injury. But, yeah, I'm almost positive.
I hate to say it, I think this is just going to be a fade for me this whole game. Obviously, Jefferson doesn't need help getting open, but without another competent wide receiver on the other side, I think he's going to struggle just a little bit. It's going to be a football game where the Vikings probably win like 24-21, and they just get it done by spreading the ball around. I don't know.
I mean, this could be a game for me that I play Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
I do think he's going to get his carries. They bulked up the offensive line. I know what's his name that they brought in last year from the Broncos. I know he's out a few games due to
Dalton Risner.
Yep, he's got a bicep injury or something. But yep. I feel like they've put some money and some effort into their offensive line. And with the questions around Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback and maybe no Addison, maybe Jalen Naylor and Brandon Powell having to step up, no yep. TJ Hawks, so you're relying on a Josh Oliver in a month. I think Aaron Jones is a good single play.
Yeah.
And he's going to get your goal line touches too. So,
yeah, the thing, and he's good at catching the ball out of the backfield for a safety dump off. And that there gives you like, it's like 2 points every catch for a running back as well. So it's, yeah, I don't hate that at all.
Which is something also to look at on the other side of this too. I mean, Singletary's pretty good at catching out of the backfield too,
but
in a pretty bad offense.
He lacks that explosion.
He does. But he, the last five games, last four games last year, he was above 10 points. I mean, not that that's great, but he was sharing carries with Pierce at that time.
Yeah.
So in Houston. So, I mean, he could get it done. It just, you're also going against the Minnesota defense. So that's always a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's just going to be Aaron Jones in this game or nothing for me. Maybe like a Malik Nabers and hope he blows one past on these shitty Minnesota secondary.
Well, they got Gilmore now, though.
I mean, we have Gilmore, but he's not the Gilmore of old. So
no, he's not, but I still think he can cover. I mean, that's the same thing with Harry the Hitman. I mean, he's lost a step for sure too, but
all right, I'm
Las done. Vegas and the Chargers.
Yeah,
this is if I'm playing anybody, I'm going one side here, and that's Chargers. And I don't even love that, to be honest with you. They lost everyone in the wide receiver room. Their running back room is a complete overhaul.
I honestly don't mind like a Josh Palmer. I really don't. Or even maybe a Ladd McConkey. See what happens at the value that he gives you at 4,700 as a wide receiver too. Because we all know Quentin Johnston just fucking sucks and can't catch football. So the odds if Ladd McConkey even shows a pulse and effort, he's going to be definitely taking that two spot from Johnston. And Davante Adams, I think we're really going to see him fall this year with Gardner Minshew being the quarterback. I think he's really regretting his move to Vegas.
So
I could see him, he's 7,600 to start the year. I'd be willing to bet we could see him down at 6,000 by the end of the year. I truly do.
And he's also injury prone too.
Yeah,
that doesn't help him.
The Chargers just went and got both former Ravens running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. You can see them splitting carries just like they did there in frickin' Baltimore. So I'm going to be out on them. I just hate split carries. One I definitely don't hate is Zamir White, if I'm going to target anybody in this game on the Vegas side.
He actually had four really good games at the end of last year. I shouldn't say really good, but he had 17, 17, 15, 16 for a $4,000 and $5,000 rusher, you know. But I don't hate that. I am a little nervous with just him in general. This is his first year as a number one back. I mean, he's going to be splitting carries for sure with Madison, but I just don't think Madison's very good either.
No, we've seen Madison just struggled as a one.
Yeah, he just doesn't have any explosiveness either.
So, I don't know. This game, I think there's a lot better to target.
Yeah,
this game opened at 42.5, and it's already down to 40.5. So Vegas is seeing something, so I don't think I'm going to be targeting many players from this game.
Well, right? On to the rookie versus the nursing home in the next game, Denver versus Seattle, Bo Nix versus Geno Smith.
Yeah, I'm actually high on Bo Nix. I hate Sean Payton, I really, if he can, you know, make Bo Nix into a professional quarterback and you know, make him as a feasible starter, I'll take it. I really, Bo Nix offers a little bit of running potential as well, so that helps out in daily fantasy for sure. I could see this game be like a sneaky shootout.
Yeah. I just don't love Denver's weapons. I mean, they just, Javonte Williams is a power back. McLaughlin is definitely their, you know, catch out of the backfield type of back. Yeah. But their wide receiver room has been a complete disaster the last 4 or 5 years, yeah. And they really haven't made it better. I mean, Cortland Sutton is meh at best. Josh Reynolds is past his prime. Marvin Mims is fast, but he can't hardly catch. I mean, I think you're going to see Troy Franklin make a push this year, probably to the 2 or the 3 spot at some point.
But he's been struggling.
He has, and I saw that too. And they don't have a tight end. I mean, Troutman is not good.
No, not ideal.
You know,
but
and
they got Parham.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, I don't know. And Geno, I mean, I could see if he struggles, they're going to be going to Sam Howell sooner than later. I don't think he's going to have a long leash to start the year.
No, and I think Sam Howell got screwed in Washington. I mean, I get they wanted Jaden Daniels, but Sam Howell as a cannon, he just needed a coach.
And a little ball control.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He threw plenty of picks. There's no doubt about that. But I just felt like he did well for what he had. I mean, they weren't great last year either in Washington, but yeah, I think this year could be better.
One piece I'm going to hammer this week, and he's going to be probably one of my most owned running backs, Kenneth Walker. I think he's going to go off this game. I truly do.
Yeah, against a mediocre defense. I mean, he will get some split carries, but
I think, yeah, but I just think he's going to, it's going to be like 75-25.
Yep.
Of snaps, so I'm gonna be playing him a lot. All right, that's all I have. Don't overthink it. Don't try and get cute in the long run. Don't do it.
The next game and second to last, Dallas and Cleveland, and this is a game I'm loving me some Jerome Ford this year. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I think that dude is going to go until at least Nick Chubb comes back. I think that dude's going to get 90% of the carries and he's going to be an every down back. And they don't have many options. I mean, outside of they got Cooper, but Judy's taking a step back. Elijah Moore's taking a step back. I mean, Njoku, if he can stay healthy, he's great. But I love Jerome Ford.
I think this is just going to be it's going to be a defensive slog. I don't think it's going to be like a 21-17, 17-14 game. I just don't. It's going to be two good defenses playing each other in Cleveland. So I don't know. I think I'm going to be. I don't think I'm going to get cute and play anybody. I think I'm just going to be a fade on this game.
41.5 is the line.
Yeah, it seems a little, and it opened at 44.5, so that's a big drop already. I don't know. This is early. That's why we'll do another show, but this is just kind of get our thoughts thinking and ruin for the week.
And on the Cowboys side, I've heard it now from multiple sources that this Rico Dowdle is actually pushing Elliott and Cook out of the number one spot.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting. I mean, they got 4 running backs over 4,200. So that's and I think all of them are actually going to get carries because Deuce Vaughn's not a bad running back either.
No.
But I don't think Delvin Cook lasts 3 weeks, in my opinion. I think he's going to get DFA'd.
I think Delvin's just done. I just wish he'd call it a career. And Regal Dowdle, we seen him even last year in some of them like showdown slates, like on a Monday night, Thursday night games. He was kind of one of the pieces you needed in some of them games. And, you know, he's able to catch out of the backfield. He has a lot of boom or bust potential out of that backfield. So that's one thing to always count in on when you're playing a running back. You always want guys that can catch the ball as well.
Because I also think that other than CeeDee Lamb, there is a massive drop-off in wide receiver talent now that Gallup's gone. And not that Gallup was ever great, but definitely better than a Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It's going to be another interesting game. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a 50-point game or it's going to be nothing. But I think Jerome Ford's just going to be a key piece for me building this week, looking at things
I just
at the
don't,
moment.
And Dallas obviously, they're electric. CD can bust one out, bust two for 150, you know, like 70-yard bombs or whatever it is. But I just don't think Cleveland can play that. They run the ball. They dink and duck. They don't. I feel like it with them, they're how they play. It makes the game shorter. You know what I mean? They hold the ball for a long time and don't get anything done. So I just don't like the lack of potential.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah. And you need to even play CeeDee Lamb. I mean, the guy's going to have two touchdowns to be optimal.
It's obviously, it's once again, it's what people do around him and that. Yeah. And it, but yeah, I mean, if he's going to, if someone like, say, Jamar Chase goes for in that game that we necessarily don't hate in New England or against New England, Cincinnati Bulls doors off them. Jamar Chase has 160 for three touchdowns. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb not going to be needed. You're going to need to do something big. Yeah. Or if Nico Collins at 7,000 does a lot again in that indie game that we like in the environment a lot more. I think CeeDee might actually get ownership this week, and I think it'll be a sharp move to fade if he does.
I would agree.
So, on the last one, Washington, Tampa Bay. What's your thoughts on this?
I don't know.
This is just the DraftKings weather in the little corner, but it does say rain.
Yep. That could be interesting. Jaden Daniels making his first career NFL start. I like Brian Robinson. Austin Eckler's definitely lost a step, but he's there. I just think, again, their wide receiver room is pretty shallow. After Scary Terry, you really don't have much, and that's a little scary to me. I mean, they got Sanat and Ertz, which are going to get your goal line catches, and I could see that happening, but this is another game where I don't really like either side. Rashad White's another guy that I saw as being a top five bust this year, right behind Stevenson from New England. So I don't love that, but I always love a good Mike Evans and a Chris Godwin. I mean, one of those two is always going to break out.
Yeah, Mike Evans, he just offers you that red zone upside. Like, he's just so big in the end zone, and he's so sure-handed. Like, he's just a security blanket in the end zone. One sneaky play that I think offers upside at a low price. I don't know how much he's going to see the field, but if you're willing to take a chance in a big GPP, Noah Brown at 3,200 on this Washington offense. Dylan McDaniels, he likes to air it out. Noah Brown, he's one of the better deep targets in the league. We've seen it last year with Dallas. So I guess if you want to get cheap and hope he busts a long one for like 75, 80 on a deep bomb, I don't hate it. But
yeah, I agree. But I agree 100%.
You could also look at Terry McLaurin. He's obviously the solid number one. He's probably going to be the main target for McDaniels or Jaden Daniels. I mean, maybe we could see him maybe get 10 receptions, 130 yards just out of volume because he's the only guy. So I necessarily, but if the weather is bad, I'm just going to avoid the game. But this is talking if it all of a sudden doesn't rain, it is Florida. It could switch on a dime. So we'll see.
I would agree. Do we want to hit on either one of the early games this week?
Yeah, we got a little bit of time left.
Baltimore and Kansas is the first game.
Kansas City, yeah. That's a little bit different strategy because that's showdown and you're trying to just nail random pieces that'll go off. NFL showdown. Look at that. They even got a Millie Maker on Thursday night.
Yeah, I saw that. 196,000 people.
That's not, for a single game.
Yeah.
196,000.
Yeah.
Entries, not people.
Yeah. So good luck to anyone playing in that one.
Yeah. I don't know. And as of right here, it says rain on the thing here as well. So it's probably, I don't know. I love playing Patrick Mahomes on these slates because people just overthink it and he just distributes the ball and usually gets about 50 points in the captain spot. So that's what I hope people do again. We'll see. It's one game. So you're really trying to just freaking nail the cheap piece. You're hoping he throws one to Noah Gray or Mecole Hardman or one of these guys down here. So yeah, it's just
this might be one of the few games you see Rishi Rice this year. So
yeah,
I bet he's going to play 2 weeks and he's probably going to get put on the exempt list for the rest of the year. So he's going to probably be a good target in week one. But you got Hollywood Brown who's going to be out. You got Xavier Worthy maybe a good play here,
but he's still priced up for But this is showdown, so I mean, obviously he's going to be priced up. But otherwise, you can go to Justin Watson. We've seen him kind of You know, he's always been around at the Chiefs, so he knows the plays. Don't necessarily hate that, but the biggest thing is in showdown, your score changes every play almost. It does change every play regardless. And, you know, if you have a good beat on what you think the script is, if you think, oh, it's going to be a defensive slog, Derrick Henry's going to run two in, you know, you can play Derrick Henry. And if you think if it's a defense slog, play both defenses, play Pacheco, and then just try and maybe play the volume guys like Travis Kelce, a couple dump offs or something like that. If you have a good beat on a game script, the way you think it's going to play out, play it. Because when it's right, and you'll win.
I would agree.
A lot of things, a lot of randomness can happen in one game. So
I would agree. And that game is set to open. That's at a 46.5, so that could be a shootout. Obviously, weather pending. Obviously, rain puts a damper on chucking the pigs.
But, yeah.
But, and one of my favorite games of the week on Friday being the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be sneaky good this year, and they have a lot of weapons at a really cheap price right now. So that's going to make things definitely a little interesting for me. Yeah, it's way over. There's not Madden stream is the only.
You're not going to want to look at that, though.
Nope. That's going to be a game you're probably just going to want to avoid with DFS, it looks like.
There'll be a slate for it, I think, somewhere. Maybe not, because isn't it in, like, Brazil?
Yeah, it's overseas.
It's in Brazil, I think.
Or yeah, San Paulo.
Yeah, Brazil.
So, yeah, that one may not have
you
a
might
whole
not
lot
be,
going for it.
You might. I can see it in the, like, the Thursday through Sunday games, but I can't see it in showdown, and I'm not going to play the Thursday through Sunday slate. I just don't do that. So that's kind of hard to talk about, but we can just talk about it. Yeah, I think Green Bay is going to be sneaky good. They got a lot of young receivers, especially if, like, Christian Watson can stay healthy, man. They got a solid three. So
even without him, I mean, they have Dobbs. You got Jaden Reed's number one, and who's the other guy?
You got
on a blank because Christian Watson's their number four guy now.
He won't be that on the depth chart. There's no way.
Wicks.
Yeah, he won't be on. He won't be four on the depth chart. He'll be like two.
Well, we'll see. The guy is notorious for staying healthy.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I don't. Yeah, I don't think he'll be four on the depth chart. That's for sure.
And I just think it's something with Green Bay and grooming their quarterbacks. And
yeah,
I
mean, whatever they're doing with their quarterbacks, man.
Yeah. We got the secret down. I mean, Josh Jacobs also in the backfield for his first game in the green and yellow. I think he's lost a step, but Green Bay always has a decent offensive line. Now, A.J. Dillon out for the year. Marshawn Lloyd potentially out for an extended period of time. Emmanuel Wilson might be a cheap play, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, this first week's going to have a lot of question marks for a lot of these veteran guys that have been around for a long time to see if they still have it.
And especially if you do the showdown format, I don't hate just like playing that Emmanuel Wilson or what, but we can't really see if it's going to be on the showdown slates or not.
Or even if they'll really even do anything for
it. It's hard to say because I know like when we were trying to play golf in the Olympics, when I was out in Boston, you couldn't play DFS over, you couldn't do golf over there because it was in a different country that was not in their laws or something. So I don't know, maybe they aren't going to do anything because there's, you might not be able to play DFS down there. I don't know. So we'll see. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of, there's one more game on Monday, but I don't really have anything. I think we can go over that more on the next show. It's kind of, I think that's a good overview of what we're looking at here. Unless you have anything to add.
No, I really don't. I don't know. It's just, it's the start of football. We're just excited that it's back and hoping we can win some money this year. The contests are absolutely insane. I mean, just there's bankrolls for everybody. And just hopefully we win some money this year.
Yeah, we haven't done it yet, but on the next show we'll do a 1v1 in this as well.
Yep,
and
yep,
I don't know,
just like we did for golf.
Are we going to continue a goat and a ghost for, how should we do that? Do we do like a quarterback ghost and goat, or pick one person we think
like
that's really going to go off and one that's not?
Or maybe even just a team.
Yeah, let's do that. We could do a team that we think is going to come from nowhere, and we can do one that we think is going to fall.
Yeah, I think that'll be easier.
Yeah, especially, and then we can do our continued 1v1. And
yep, we'll continue that from golf. That's fun.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of which I put the absolute hammer on you in the last golf one of the year.
Yes, he did. That is for sure.
But it wasn't even that great until Sunday because all my guys shot like 5 to 9 under.
Yeah.
I absolutely charged. Like, I wasn't even paying attention to it. Then all of a sudden Sunday, I'm like, holy shit.
Well, that's why I'm like, dude, I hope you put that in a real lineup. Because in my, I played the $8 three max this week, and you would have taken, what did I say, third?
Yep.
So...
Yeah, I won like, I don't know. I put it in the $5 single entry, so I made like $70 on it.
Hell, money up is a win.
Oh, I was happy. I was happy with that.
And just a disclaimer again, you know, we're just here to put a little insight on all this stuff we got going on, all the now football instead of golf so much. But, you know, just use your best judgment. Don't spend more than you have. And we just want to give our insight, and hopefully we can help you win some money and get to the top of the leaderboards. One thing that we're still doing, we're going to continue to do, is be a partner with Ship It Nation. Now we're rolling into their football, or their football numbers, and pulling down everything we need from Ship It Nation. They're a good partner for all sports. And we have a link on our Facebook page. If you guys are looking to get a little extra help and try and get an edge, Ship It Nation's where it's at.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're offering the best, you know, the best content for the best price, offering you the best tools to just so you can spend more money on your DFS and not just paying their site.
Yeah.
And two, all this isn't quite Ship It, but today I just watched even a Toteg and Tambo, one of the head guys at Ship It. He did a show with Pat Mayo on like a research football show, like where you'd start if you're a newer person in NFL DFS. So I recommend going to check that out. That is under Mayo Media, under on anywhere you can get your podcasts, or on YouTube at Mayo Media Network.
Absolutely.
That's a good I listened to that just to refresh today.
Absolutely. But that's all I have. I'm excited that NFL is underway. I'm freaking super stoked that it's here, and it's my favorite time of year. So I love fall. I love college football, NFL. You know, if there's any way I can help anybody with NCAA, we'll probably do a little, once it gets into some actual decent games, might even throw a little NCAA in these podcasts. So
yeah, we'll see.
That's really all I have for this evening.
Yeah, same here.
I hope everyone has a good night, and let's see you at the top.
See ya.